What we were up to last time was the next major balance of mutav you show could get, of tochacha, of cases where you don't give musar because it's going to be counterproductive, is mutav shu shogigin, right? Is the idea that we found in the Gemara that it's that in a case where you know that someone is currently violating an isser, dirabanan, is currently violating an isser b'shogig, and you know they're not going to listen to you. If you tell them, then you shouldn't tell them because it's going to lead them to do it bit mazed. Now, the Gemara there had said, what was the example? So the Gemara had a few examples, right? So we had seen the Gemara, if I remember, in Beitza. Shogeg is accidental, right? Unintentional. Right, and mazed is just intentional, right? Premeditated is too strong. Because it doesn't have to be premeditated as long as it's meditated. Sure. What? Yeah. Intentional. That you mean that's what you want to do. So anyways. Yeah. So the Gemara had it said as follows, just to review this quickly, that Amrle Rav Chanan bar Rav Lar Vashi, Amr Rabbanan Kamad after Lashon Mishanim Biyoma Tava, Vani Nasha the Kamalyan Chasvayo Maya. Right, that you're supposed to modify as much as possible your what the malacha that you're violating on Yom Tov, but right, even when you're doing it for something that's mutter, and he says, but these women fill their jugs with water, and we don't say anything. So first the Gemara goes through, well, maybe it's impossible, right, and gives all types of reasons, and then the Gemara later on says, the Mishnah also says you're not supposed to clap or dance on Yom Tov, and yet we see that people do it. We don't say anything. So the Gemara says, okay, well, we also see people sitting by the opening of a mavui, or the opening of an alleyway, and we also don't say anything, right? Even though it's a really bad idea because things might roll out, and then to the Shadarabim, they're going to go carry it and violate. So the Gemara answers, Hanach lam liyisrael mutav shogim al yom mezidim. It's better that they should do it b'shogeg than b'mezid. And if you warn them, and we saw, this is yet another balance, because it's saying, right, how is this distinguished in all the cases that we saw in the Gemara, where it says, you have to give musar until X, Y, and Z, until they smack you? Right, here's a case where they don't yet know what they're doing is usher. And that's the key. They don't yet know that what they're doing is usher. So first, the Gemara tries to limit that. Because obviously, right off the bat, as I mentioned last time, it can't be this is always true. Because I had one of my rabbis said that, you know, he taught at a community school, right? So most of the students were not religious. But he taught halacha.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And he said he felt guilty teaching them. Because when they came into his class, they were shogeg. And now they know it's usher. Now it's mazed, right? But obviously, you can't say that. There are plenty of you guys. There are plenty of things that you don't know before I teach it to you. And I don't say, well, I'm just going to let everyone be ignorant.
It's like,
right? Right? Obviously, right? That would be very bad. So there has to be a limit. So the Gemara first attempt at a limit is, v'hani mili b'derabanan, v'al b'deraita lo. That maybe only by derabanan we can do this. But deraita not. For why? Interesting question, right? We suggested, I think, last time that based on the Nesivos, the Meshech Chachma, the Nesivos famously says that if someone violates Dirabanan b'shogeg, he doesn't need kapara. Now, it's not clear he's right, but what's his logic? So Meshech Chachma says, well, the logic is very simple. Violating, or he didn't say this within the Sivos, but he says, by Dirabanan, God didn't say, don't pick your favorite Dirabanan. Whatever, right? Don't, right? Mukta on Shabbos, probably, okay? So don't. But what they said was, listen to the rabbis. But really what they're saying is don't rebel against the rabbis. But if you don't know you're rebelling, that's not rebellion. Right? The act itself is not wrong. So the Havamina of the Gemara, that only by Derabanan can we say this, makes sense. But then the Gemara says, no, Velohi. Lo shnami daraita, velo shnami derabanan. There's no difference. Lo amrina velo midi, and what's its proof? Tosefet yom ha-kippurim da'oraitahu, v'achli v'shadu ad shechashcha, velo amrina velo midi. Because people eat all, your midi da'oraita, you're supposed to add to Yom Kippur. You're supposed to add Yom Kippur. But people don't. Okay, let's try this. Right? Right? The halacha is that you have to add Yom Kippur. That's the halacha. Right? How is? Okay. It smells good. It comes out stronger at the bottom. See, now it's like, that one's clear, and this one you can see it comes out much darker. Oh, yeah. Right, because probably at the mid, you really have to like shake it. Yeah, but this I already drank from. But if you don't care, you can take some from this one. It smells very strong. You can smell it. Yeah. Yeah, this one's clearly much stronger.
Oh, yeah. That's like, mine was green. This is orange.
Oh, it's really sweet. Okay, anyways, not important. Not the point. I gave them because they gave me this. That's why.
Did you pause the recording?
No, it's fine. We're having tea, okay, if you're wondering. Yeah. I can smell it. So anyways, open it. Anyways, so the Gemara rejects this distinction deraita and derabanan. No, possibly. So fine. Now what we need to do is try to figure out the parameters of this principle, right? Mutav shiu shogigim. Okay? Okay, so if you look at the... It's fine, look at the Rambam. So turn to page 3 here, okay? So... The Gemara. Yeah, the Gemara. So now let's try to figure out how this plays out. So if you look at the Rambam, first let's look at the Rambam on Tochacha, then let's look at the Rambam on his limitation of Mutav Yushogin, okay? So the Rambam in Tochacha says, Haroa chaver shechato shalach b'derech lo tova. If you see your friend sinning or doing something wrong, mitzvah lachzir mutav. Now, first of all, that's the Rambam already adds something very striking to mitzvah of Tochacha, which is, O shaholach b'derech lo tova. He's sinning or he's doing something wrong. Right? What does Berech Lo Tova mean? It's not usher. Meaning, the Rambam is already telling you that Tochacha, fascinatingly, is not limited to formal Isurim. Right? You see doing something which is just wrong, or whatever, then you're supposed to tell him. Right? You're supposed to tell him.
What, like you put a shirt on backwards?
Derech Lo Tova. He's following the wrong path. Right? Presumably that means like... I fail to know what category one should put watching anime in. Usher to Arisa? Wow, that is quite the psak. As I don't watch anime, I bimitsu don't know what you're talking about.
What do you mean God says you should worship both gods?
Is, okay, if people... Whatever. Anyways. Okay. Anyways. Mitzvah lachzir lamuta v'lodiyah shuchot elas ma'asavarayim. What? Okay, fine. Now, the Rambam here, by the way, has... The Rambam, if you read him carefully, has a lot of chidushim here. He says, mitzvah lachzir lamutav. So it's a mitzvah to bring him back to the right path. But listen. I want you to listen to the language. So listen to the language. Ulahodia shuchote al atzmo. You should tell him that he's sinning against himself, b'masav harayim. Right? The Rambam is very careful here. He's saying, what's the proper way to give musar?
You're hurting yourself.
You're hurting yourself. I'm doing this for your own good. Shene'emar, ochev dochiach enamitecha. Right, so the Rambam already had a lot of important diukim here. Ar mochiach et chavero bira bein vidvarim shebeino leveino bein vidvarim shebeino leveino makom. And this is true whether it's sins between him and self, him and God. Tzarech lachichol beino leveino atzmo. You should do it privately. You should do it privately. Vidaber lo benachat v'lashon racha. Right, the Rambam here adds so many things that aren't found directly in the Gemara, but what is he channeling? Right, the, remember, the what is the Rambam? Where's the Rambam getting this? So either he's getting it from common sense, which is always possible, but it's channeling the Gemara's conviction that what? You shouldn't say something, just like the mitzvah to say the things that will be heard, it's mitzvah to not say the things that won't be heard. So the Rambam, not crazily enough, takes this to mean that what? Not just that, that you should give Musar with Chachma, right? That you should do it in a way that...
Like you shouldn't just say...
Yeah, meaning if there's a mitzvah to, if there's a mitzvah to only give Musar that's going to be effective, so then doesn't it make sense that the Rambam is going to tell you how you should do that? Right? So he says, fine. V'odio she'eno omer lo l'tovato la'vi l'chem abba. And you tell him he's doing it for his own good. V'im kibo mimenu, if he accepts it, mutav, great. V'im lav, yochenu pam shniyah v'shlisha, then do it again. V'chein tamid, chayev adam lochiach ad she'akeo achote. You have to do it until he slaps you. V'oyo omer lo en yisho man, says, I won't listen. Which, by the way, is interesting, because the Rambam implies that if he slaps you but doesn't say I'm not going to listen, right? You know, like, it, he starts, like, punching you, but it's clear that he's also breaking down emotionally. Like, he's starting to feel it, and he's not saying, I won't listen, but he's like, you know, but if he, no, but if he says, like, stop, right? You feel like he's getting guilty, he's feeling guilty, and he keeps hitting you, it sounds like in the Rambam, you should keep going, right? Right, which is interesting, because remember we saw that we had this suffix in the Gemara, which is, why is the shear until he hits you? Is it because you don't have to endure being hit? Or is it because at that point it's going to be ineffective? The Rambam makes it sound like it's the latter. That the very this fact that he's hitting you might not be enough. Right? If he's punching you, but it's clear that, like, it's because, you know, he's at that, like, he's at the upset that breaks to...
himself and you.
Exactly, that point. And anyone who... could protest and doesn't, so he gets caught up in the sin. Fine. When you start, don't start by embarrassing him. That was the Gemara. That's what the Gemara says. You might have thought you give him rebuke until his face changes colors. Talmud Lomar lo tisalav chet. Mikan shasur laadam lachlimit Israel. From here, you learn that you shouldn't embarrass a Jew. The kol shekem rabim for sure in public. Aval bisha hamachlim chaveru eno loka love. Avon gadol hu. Even though you don't get malchut, it's terrible. To the point where the Gemara says, "Kachamru chachamim amal bintu bnei chaveru beravim." If you embarrass your friend publicly, ein lochelik lolam abba. You have no portion in the world to come. Lefichach tarich adam liyizaher shol levayish chaveru beravim bein kanton bein gadol. So you shouldn't embarrass an adult, a child. That includes, don't give him a nickname that embarrasses him. Or say something in front of him that embarrasses him. But this is Ben Adam L'Chavero. But if it's Ben Adam L'Makom and he won't repent from private rebuke, then humiliate him in public. Do what it takes. You publicize his sin and you like blaspheme him, mefana mevazin, you degrade him, until he does tshuva. Kemosh asu kol neviim b'Yisrael. What's his proof? The neviim. He's like, have you ever read the neviim? Amos, you are fat cows. Right. That's not exactly. That's actual a quote from Amos. It's a quote from, I mean, in Hebrew, obviously he says it, but. Sure, I'm not sure what that has to do with not showing up for Shacharis. I don't know if fat guys has to do with it. He was critiquing hedonism there, but sure. You know, like people who have entire pints of ice cream as a snack or something. I'm sorry. Okay. Now, if you turn to Shvita Asura, that's where the Rambam puts this limitation of Mutav Yishogin. So he says, Nashim Shachlot Vishotot Ad Shechat Sheikhav. You have women who... What?
I have to work on my gut stuff.
Who eat and drink until nightfall. They don't realize there's a mitzvah biblically that you have to add. Right? That is the mitzvah. There's a lot of people who don't believe this, don't understand this. Don't protest, they might end up doing it intentionally. But now the Rambam adds a line. And he says, and no one really knows where he gets this from. The Rambam says, you know what the Svara is from Mutav Yishogigin? So what would you have thought the Svara is from Mutav Yishogigin? That it's better to let people do it by accident and not on purpose. Well, what's the Svara? What do you think the logic? Correct. You would have thought that this is protect them. But that's the simple meaning of the words. Mutav Yishogigin. The Rambam is Mechadesh. And everyone tries to figure out why this is. Says no. Because you can't be a policeman. You can't be a police officer in everybody's house. Which is not possible. And therefore it's better they should be shogging. What is he adding? Where does he get that logic from? So no one really knows where he gets that logic from. But what is he saying? That it's not just that it's better for them to not do it b'mezid because made it worse. What else is he saying? At some level, the problem is that there has to be a limit. There has to be a limit to what we are obligated to do because it's impossible to effectively police everyone's actions. And therefore, at least part of the Svara, according to the Rambam, is because practically we just can't actually stop everyone from sinning. We need to pick our battles.
Also, if you do it constantly, then people like possibly stop listening to you.
That could be, right? But with the Rambam, is right, it's very interesting. The Rambam, and where, again, his source is very, it's interesting. We can try to figure out where he gets it from. But this, the what's interesting about the Rambam is that he adds this line. It's clear that for him, it's not that it's better for them to not do it intentionally. Is that because it sounds like, look, if I could really, really stop them, I would have to do it. But I can't be a shoter. Now the Rambam, one second, Rabinovich is Medayeg, he thinks that the Rambam actually gets it from the halacha we just saw. Because remember, the Rambam Perek Vav Hilchot Deot, and Musar, what did he add? He added three words, which is a paraphrase of the Gemara, which is, Kol she'efshar biyado limchot, anyone who could protest. Which means that built into it is, right, a certain pragmatism, or the idea that you could stop the sin. The whole point here is that you're not going to be able to stop it. Being pragmatic, being practical, right? But he's saying if you won't be able to stop it, but I'll be honest that I'm not sure he's right. Meaning, I'm not sure he's not right. But I think there's more to it. I think the Rambam is saying more than just, well, you can't stop it, right? He's also saying like, it's not just they won't listen. It's you could do it if we had infinite resources. Right. But because we don't have infinite resources, you need to pick your battles, and this is unlikely to be listened to, and the current situation isn't as bad as what could happen, because what the Rambam seems to be implying is, listen, if I just say once, don't do it, they'll probably do it, and that'll be intentional. Now, if I stood there watching them, I sent the Rosh of Beit Din, I sent the head of the Beit Din, I sent the rabbi of the shul if I picked one woman in the shul who I knew, right, that's his case, that she eats after she's supposed to, and the rabbi gives a shiur and says, no one should eat, you know, even 10 minutes before shkia, you have to add. And then the rabbi goes to her house and walks with her to shul. So that one woman is probably, it is possible to stop that woman from eating. But you can't do that for everyone. It's impossible. At some point, maybe the rabbi, maybe even the assistant rabbi, right? Maybe for some people, the gabbai. But at some point, you run out of people that will embarrass other people into not doing avir. It's not possible. And therefore, we have to pick our battles.
Also, like, you've done it
basically. Yes.
I think the focus of being that instead of the shift being on the person, it's actually going to be
on ourselves. So it's a combination. Right? That's what the Rambam is saying, it's a combination. Right? It's, yes, because of them, but it's also because we can't expend all our resources policing everybody. So we need to pick our battles. And once we need to pick our battles, then we can figure out from their point, what is the battles that are worth fighting for their well-being? And the answer is, if right now they're shogeg, and if I say something, but I don't actually hold a gun to their heads, so they will end up doing it b'mezid, then I should leave them shogeg and go stop people who I can stop them from doing mezid.
Right? But I think it's not that, you know, them doing being lazy does not benefit them, it's rather that them being lazy in a sense also negatively affects us.
Why is that? So then I'm not sure, right? I'm not sure. It could be. It could be. It could, no, I understand. It could be. It's not clear to me. He just, he doesn't add in that line for the Gemara, right? On that, he uses the exact paraphrase of the Gemara, which is, or almost quote, Hanach Lushu Shogin Valu Mazidin. It's that first line, that don't be like a police officer, the Rambam is Mechadish, or the Rambam adds that wasn't there.
Right. I'm trying to get into why then would you care all about the policeman in the first place? You have to say for self-interest.
It's not, well, you have a chiv d'oraita. It's not self-interest. You have a chiv d'oraita. Yeah, okay, that's, I don't know if you call it self-interest. You have a chiv minatari. You want to call that a self-interest? I mean, sure, God told you to do it. God told you, enochanami. Okay. So let's try to get into this principle a little bit, which is, what exactly is the hanach lehem? So if you look at the Shidim Gubatim, he quotes the Ritva, and he says as follows, Hanach lam Yisrael, v'dafka mida kimlan dabdu shogeg. So he says, first things first, is it clear? You need to actually know they're doing it with shogeg. You can't just guess. Or you can't just, you see somebody, you know, with a kippah and tzitzis, who probably knows basic halacha, get into his car on Shabbos and turn it off, right? You don't say, you don't have to, you know, you can't stick your head in the sand and say, he probably doesn't know that driving is Asur on Shabbos. Right? He says, no, it has to be something that you know he's probably shogeg, because it's the type of thing that even from people don't know. Right? There are plenty of things like that, right? Where most from people know that you shouldn't light a fire on Shabbos. And a lot of them don't know that.
My dad once,
if you think that's Asur, sure.
My dad
what? To make ice cubes? Are you asking me my psak? Yes. It's a machloget. No, I think it's mutter. No, it's going to be, no, if you use it after Shabbos, I think it's also. If you're using it for Shabbos, like, it's a machloget achronim. I think it's mutter. No, I don't think you have to be medayek like this. Just fill it up. No, I think it's fine. But first of all, most of these use pour it, and they, like, it's a big machloket. I happen to think it's mutter. I happen to possibly think the shita that it's mutter. It's molid, but it's reverse. Anyways, okay. Anyway, so the first thing he says that you have to know that it's that he va'avdin b'mezid let the lie time. He said right something that you know they're doing b'mezid. No, then we revert back to the normal rule, which is you're chayev to give tochacha. First thing. Now, what about the next one? He says v'loi lo shana deraita lo shana derabanan. The avgav done b'shabbat as gina dafka b'derabanan. So he notes that part of the problem is the following. Okay, that this sugya appears in multiple places in Shas, and in the sugya in Shabbat, it doesn't reject. Well, there was part of the problem is there were multiple girsaot. In some of the Gersot, it didn't reject. In one of them, the difference in Doraita and Derabana. So he says. First of all, we're Machmir. That it's only with Derabanan. Right? So it could be that we're Machmir like that. He said one possibility, but to deal with the Sira, it's a machoget sugyot, and we have to be machmir. Right? So by daraita, you would. The second possibility, he says, is that there's two different types of daraita. There's daraita explicit in the pasuk, and then there's daraita that comes from a drasha. Ela kol da'ad midrasha dekraka gon tosefet. Something that comes from a drasha is sort of like a derabanan, and therefore we apply kein hanach lam Yisrael. Now, why is that the case? Graver, you tell me. Why is it that we would distinguish with the indoraitas and say, listen, even within Doraita, we can say Hanach Lam Yisrael, but only something that's not explicit in the Pasuk. So there's two possible ways you could get to this. One is that in a fundamental level, even though it's biblical, something that comes from a drasha is a lower level Doraita. Higher level Daraita, you can't let people do even the shogeg. Lower level Daraita, you can't let people do a b'mezia, but you can let them do a b'shogeg. Something, he says something that isn't explicit in the pasuk. Yes, don't eat on Yom Kippur.
Orange to fill in?
Explicit, oh, sort of.
Orange
don't, I mean, okay, we're talking about a lav. You have to be very precise here. But he says, the Torah, don't eat on Yom Kippur, is more explicit. Don't eat before Yom Kippur, because you have to add Yom Kippur, less explicit. And therefore, if you saw someone eating on Yom Kippur, you'd have to stop them, even if it went from shogeg to mezah. But Erev Yom Kippur, the few minutes before Yom Kippur, you wouldn't. So that's one possibility. The other possibility is what? I don't think this is what the Ritva is saying, but there is another logical possibility. What's the other logical possibility?
That's like how much you take it. Like how much is actually like...
Is that it's not a fundamental difference. It's a practical difference.
Right.
Namely...
Actually,
no, so I wouldn't say that. But remember where the Ritva started with? The Ritva started with saying what? That it has to be something that you reasonably think they're only doing by accident. So you could say that why is it different...
Smarter.
Right? Because if it's something in the pasuk, it's hard for you to believe that they don't know that what they're doing is wrong. It comes from a drasha, just because it's formally daraita, that seems to be the rajba. So if you look at the left here, the rajba in his formulation says, it's only something that's explicit in the Torah, and not el ought to be drasha, giyachal shin tosefet. Why? Because people don't think about it. They don't know it's usher. Right? So this is, many of the Chachmei Sfard say that when something's explicit in the Torah, then even if you're doing b'shogeg, you have to stop them. But if it's d'oraita, but it comes from a drasha, you don't. The Ritva seems to think that's because it's a lower level d'oraita. The Rajbath seems to think it's because, again, we only use this rule of Hanach L'Mizra when it's plausible that they're doing it accidentally. But if they're lighting a fire on Shabbos, which is a pasuk, it's very unlikely that it's... Everyone really knows that. But it's usher. Doesn't matter. No, we didn't distinguish mita or not. I understand that one sheet more thinks it's a lav. We don't pass them that way either. But still, yeah. Right? Do you disagree that that's what he's saying? I'm pretty sure that's what the Raj was saying.
Well,
say it again. Correct. So very good. Right. So according to the Rajba, you would be correct. According to the Rajba's logic, you would have to wonder, is it really about something being in the Beferish in the Torah, or is it the type of thing that we know you did wrong, right? That something's that we know that you're doing it wrong? Yeah, you might have to say it's not really about Daraita or Darabana. Now the Ritva adds something else. Vehera Ritva Zal B'Shem Rav Gadol Me'Ashkenazim. He added in the name of one of the Ashkenazim. Parenthetically, this is very important to know. Rabbi Dr. Kanerfogel has noted that if you follow the Chochmei Sfarad, Ramban, Rashba, the Sfardi Rishonim, but which I mean the Sfardi Rishonim in Christian Spain, not Muslim Spain, right? Not the Rambam Rimigash, the Ramban Ritva Rashba. What? The purist will tell you are Ashkenazim. Right, like my friend who's like a hardcore Taimani. Tell when I say, well, the Ramban is Sephardi, he says, no, he's Ashkenazi. Right, those people, they methodologically are very influenced by the Baalei HaTosfot. Right, you know this in Gemara. Right, you know this in Gemara. They're very influenced by the Baalei HaTosfot in terms of Chakiras. Right, Rabbi Itamar Rosenzweig wrote his dissertation at Revel on how the Ramban is the precursor to Brisker Lamdas, not the Baalei HaTosfot. That it's really the Ramban's advancement of the Chilukim of the Baalei HaTosfot in the direction of conceptual analysis that's more proto Brisker. But the interesting thing is that the Ramban, as much as that's the case, quotes the Baalei HaTosfot only not so often. The Rashba a little bit more, the Ritva explodes. The Ritva quotes them all the time. So Dr. Kanerfogel argues, based on not just the fact that he quotes them all the time, but which ones they quote, that the big difference is he thinks that, that the Ritva finally got access to Tosfot Rabbeinu Peretz. Because Rabbeinu Peretz was a very late compiler. So if you read Tosfot Rabbeinu Peretz, he includes just a lot of Tosafist material. And therefore, once you have Tosfot Rabbeinu Peretz, you would have a lot more access. So he quotes here one of the Ashkenazim, the Kalam Ariv Arami Rutenberg. I mean, look who he's quoting, right? He has the Marami Rutenberg. I mean, that's really late. Shalom Nemru Dvarim Halalu Ella Lidorotam. He says that this whole halacha was only in their generation. Aval Bedora Zeh Shemekilin Bekama Dvarim. But nowadays, where people don't take halacha seriously at all, so what do you think the next line should be? So two possibilities. One would be we don't rebuke at all. Very good. He says, "Roy lasut siag latorah, you should protect the Torah. Vafilu b'derabanan machinan, even by derabanan, you should protest." Clearly he thinking? Right? What does he think? Right? Vakatinin lo ad lo avr lo b'shog lo major kenu b'drash Yerushalmi v'dar nearly nachum. What is he telling you? What is that svar in the Ritva telling you? That he doesn't view this rule as a formal rule. Right? If it was a formal rule, how could you say that? Mut of Yishogin, you're chayiv not to do it when they're going to leave to Mazit. If that was the case, how could you just say, now it would change? At some level, it sounds like, what is the Maharam Rutenberg belief? That the law, that the halachot of Musar, of Tochicha, are defined at some level by a certain amount of policy, common sense, right? And therefore, sometimes you should do X, and sometimes you do the opposite of X. Right? So either he said he's making some sort of zera, which is unlikely. I don't know. Right? I can't prove it. So you could say he thinks he's like making a zera, that really halachically you shouldn't say anything, but I'm telling you as a zera you should. The other possibility is he thinks that the laws of Tochacha themselves, as we said, there has to be a certain common sense, a certain policy. It has to be reflecting more than just formalities. V'adavar nira li nachon, I think it's right. And then he has another very important qualification. And he says, okay, who's the burden of proof on Graber? If you're not sure whether they're suffic, so should you be machmir and not give musr? Or be machmir and give musr? Which one? What would you think? Who's the burden of proof on? If you're not sure whether if they're shogig. Should you give them? Should you be machmir and give them tochacha, or machmir and not give them tochacha? So he thinks that you should give them. Meaning, but that's a big difference, right? You could say mutav yishogin. It's better that they should be shogig and not mazin. Therefore, if I'm not sure that they're shogig, I should err and not say anything because I might turn them into a mazin. If, on the other hand, you come from the opposite perspective, which is musar can't have. Can't, right? The chi of tochacha can't include everything. But our default is that you should give tochacha unless I know it's not going to be effective. Then the burden of proof is on you to say he bad, I doesn't know. So that, and that's what he says, right? And now he says that's what comes from the Garden Shabbat. Amru hatam b'shasha gol Yisrael yovim hargin. Amru lemalo namri Yisrael meim shayu badam limchov velo michuk dinatam. V'chein amru betosvot. And then he says parenthetically, why are women even chayav? in adding to Yom Kippur, isn't the mitzvah say Shesman Grama? Because it's time bound and it's a mitzvah to say. Right? Not eating Yom Kippur might be a lav of sorts. Right? But adding to the day before is presumably an assay and it's time bound. Yesh lomar. I have a special drasha. Okay, fine. Yeah, what's your question? Yeah.
Okay.
That's ridiculous.
Right.
It has to exist in some format. If
right.
Everyone is basically the same, then. And following that logic, it would make sense to then just give Tom Soto.
Right, no, I think that's exactly what he's saying, right? Is at some level, you can't say that no one knows any halacha, so everyone's a shogeg, everyone's a tinuch shanashba. Great, my job is done. Everyone understands that chinuch makes people mezidim. That's what it does. It also allows them to be tzaddikim. So no one's going to say you ban education just because it has the possibility of making people intentional sinners. It's impossible. Yeah, now, according to the Rajba, though, remember, according to the Rajba, that it's not about a fundamental difference between things that are Mefurish B'Kra and not Mefurish B'Kra, but it's more like, what can I assume that they know? And not, what would that imply? Now, let's say I knew they were Shogeg by something that's in a Pasuk. Meaning, that in his time, he assumed that every good Jew had read Chumash once. Unfortunately, I know, and I don't want to articulate the words I'm about to say, but there are people who, after 12 years of Jewish education, have not read through all of Chumash. Which is a horrible thing for me to say. I didn't believe it. Lo hayiti ma'amin. But nowadays, it would imply, according to the Ritva, what would you say? According to the Ritva, if you know that someone hasn't read all of Chumash and something's explicit in the Torah, but they're plausibly a shogeg, would you give them tochacha or not? In a case where it'll transfer them from shogeg to mezid, according to the Ritva.
Probably not.
No, sorry. You would give him tochacha, the Ritva. Because the Ritva said it's objective. There's a difference between things that are explicit in the Pasuk and not. According to the Rajba, right? Not. Right? And that's what the footnoter here knows in the Rajba, that Shamat is going to trouble Zaman Arbach, the Muchim is that feel be a certain Furish Bekra, Ein Mitzvah Tochacha. That according to the Rajba, that the drawing line, the dividing line is not what is objectively worse and not objectively worse. The dividing line is what can you plausibly believe that they are shogig about and what can you not plausibly believe they're shogig about. That in a world where, unfortunately, even people who've been at 12 years of Jewish education, they have not read all of Chumash, and therefore they might not know there are certain mitzvot in the Torah. God forbid. I don't want to accept such things. But it might happen. It never happened. So then... yeah. Okay. Now this becomes very important because lahalacha, this distinction between mefurish b'kra and not mefurish b'kra, the Rama actually quotes it. Lahalacha, Dar Kemoshe quotes it. Aval davar akatut behedya b'doraita. The tzarach limchot havadei enim shogegin. But which one does he say? Something that's explicit in the Torah, you have to be mocha. Because they're definitely not shogeg. Who does he sound more like? The Ritva or the Rajba? He says, "Aval davar akatu behedya," something that's explicit in the Torah, b'doraita, tzarach limchot. Then you do have to protest. Deha vaday einim shogeg, because they're definitely not shogeg. What is like the Rajba? Right. That's because they're not. It's about what they know and what they don't know. It's not objective. Now the Nimukei Yosef adds another qualification. We saw that which we say is that it's a mitzvah shalolomar, that's only birabim. Aval b'yachid, a yachid you have to rebuke even if he's not going to listen to you. Why? Mishum ula yishmu, because he might listen to you. Possibility one. He says, why do you have to give musar even someone who's not going to listen to you? One is because you never know. And the second is shalom pitron peh, and you have to not give them an opening. If you didn't say anything, what can I... Right, you also don't want people to have the defense, I didn't know. Even if he did know. You can't let people get away with saying, I didn't know. That's why you have to give Musar at least one time. According to the Ritva of the Rajba. Yeah. If someone is doing an explicit lav in the Torah, b'shogeg.
Yeah.
And you know that if you tell him, he's still going to do it b'mezit. So according to the Ritva, you have to tell him. According to the Rajba, probably not. But if you know somehow. right? You know somehow. And how you know is a very good question. Yeah, I had a conversation with him. He doesn't know that there's a mitzvah of what's a lot of the people don't know. He doesn't know that it's usher to make a perfect imitation of the Ketoret. I'm willing to bet that many Orthodox Jews do not know that that's an issur d'oraita. Okay, so what do they know? What is it? What would someone do that's explicit pasuk in the Torah that you think people don't know about? What? Sure, break the bone of the Korban. Okay, maybe let's stop there now that we've seen these models. But again, I just want to reiterate that what I think is fascinating here is, especially according to Rami Rittenberg, is the incorporation into the sugya itself, into the hagdara of the mitzvah, into the very definition of the mitzvah, of a certain level of pragmatism, right? Again, I don't know whether Rami Rittenberg is saying externally there's a certain, right, he's setting up a gzera, or he's telling you, no, the very nature of the Isra has certain limits, a certain pragmatism that's built in that defines the contours of the mitzvah, which I think is much more suggestive. Okay, fine.